UK Wine Show, show number 81. Tasting Buddy with Paul Fitzpatrick. On this week's show,
Tasting Buddy is all about the knowledge that the wine trade has and leveraging that knowledge to best effect.
And in the news this week, UK, the biggest market for New Zealand wine, Hardy's shuttle crash lands, and how global warming is changing the way grapes are grown.
G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 81 for the 14th of December 2007. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're talking with Paul Fitzpatrick. He is from Tasting Buddy. Initially, Tasting Buddy was set up to provide a way for wine enthusiasts and the trade to record wines into a single database that they could then access online. However, as they rolled out their application that runs on Windows or BlackBerry mobile phones and small handhelds, they found that the uptake was lower than they expected. But they stumbled across demand for people wanting to be able to view wines at both consumer and trade tastings. I used the service for the London Wine Show when I was working out which wines I wanted to show people on my wine walks, and the ability to sort and order wines by grape variety, geography, was very, very handy and much better than the year before where I had to go through every producer looking for, say, Spanish wines. So I found the service to be really, really useful. But before we get into that, we're going to have the news, and as we're getting closer to the Christmas silly season, and the news tends to dry up about now, we thought we'd take a look back at some of the articles that we covered during the year and see what's made a splash and what's fizzing out. So, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. According to the latest figures, the UK is the biggest importer of New Zealand wine, with nearly 36% of New Zealand's wine exports coming to the UK. That's against 26% going to Australia and 24% to the USA. Not surprisingly, Sauvignon Blanc accounts for 70% of imports to the UK, though Merlot is up over 140% and Pinot Noir is up 37%. Market share for Kiwi wine has increased at every price point, but particularly for wines over £9. And New Zealand still has the highest average retail price per bottle in the UK, with the average price at £6.08 compared to the market average for £3.98. In the off-trade, or rather in bars and restaurants, the average price is £16.60 a bottle compared to the market average of £12.77. Marlborough is still the largest of the regions, representing 62% of the vintage, with Hawke's Bay second and Gisborne third. Together, these regions make up a massive 90% of the country's exports. Next up, Hardy's Shuttle, the mini acrylic bottle with a built-in wine glass that launched in the UK in spring, has crash-landed due to production problems. The shuttle arrived here following its successful debut in Australia, where the 25cl bottles proved popular at outdoor events, where glass is normally banned. There were two varieties, a Semillon Chardonnay and a Shiraz Cabernet, and they retailed for £2.49. But the bottles were not in the shops for very long, and they won't be back in the UK until around springtime next year. And finally, there's been much talk in the wine trade in 2007 on how grape growing is set to change because of global warming. This was highlighted in a report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which warned that as temperatures rise by 2030, drought-affected areas are likely to worsen. As a result, vineyards could be forced to move to cooler climates. Miguel Torres in Spain are already planting in vineyards at higher altitudes to combat the changing climate. Already this year, harvests in part of Europe have been earlier than normal, as heat waves have caused grapes to ripen faster, and in some regions, grapes were picked a month early. Meanwhile, more and more wineries are looking at reducing their carbon footprints and even aiming to be carbon neutral, following the lead of producers such as Cullen in Margaret River, who are Australia's first carbon neutral winery, and Grove Mill in Marlborough, New Zealand. The next big event on the calendar is the Climate Change Conference in February in Barcelona, with Al Gore as guest speaker. That's it for the news this week, but don't forget you can get more detail on any of these stories at our website 3050.co.uk. just go to the website and click on our news homepage. That's it from me this week. Back over to you, Chris.
Cheers, Jane. The next major event on the climate change calendar is the Spanish Climate Change Conference in February. It's well advertised and you should be able to find it on the internet. Hopefully I'll be going there, and I should, if all things go well, be able to produce some shows from there. So look forward to that sometime in March, April next year with some podcasts on climate change and wine. Given that Jane and I are currently in New Zealand and we're visiting my mum at the moment and we're tasting some fantastic pinots from the Otago region, the news on New Zealand exports is timely. I've been looking around the wine shops in New Zealand and the quality is very, very high. I noticed that they're slightly cheaper than the UK. For example, a wine I'm quite fond of is Whitehaven Sauvignon Blanc. It retails in the UK for around £10, but in the shops here it's about £8. It's a bit cheaper than I would expect given the duty and VAT differences, but not too far off the mark. So it's good to know in the UK we're drinking similar quality for the same price point as in New Zealand. And this week we started a new monthly poll. It's all about purchasing wine. The question is, when you purchase a bottle of wine, which of the following is most important to you? Is it grape variety, country of origin or region, brand name or producer you know and like, price, the wine has won an award, the wine is right for the occasion, or someone's recommendation? Do go to our website 3050.co.uk or theukwineshow.co.uk and vote. The results will be out at the end of the Christmas season, so I'm looking forward to that. Next up, we have the interview with Paul Fitzpatrick from Tasting Buddy. Hi, I'm here with Paul Fitzpatrick from Tasting Buddy. How are you, Paul?
Very good, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. We're going to be talking about Tasting Buddy and what Tasting Buddy is. Do you want to just tell me what Tasting Buddy is?
Certainly, yes. I mean, Tasting Buddy is all about helping the trade to maximize the knowledge that they have. So what Tasting Buddy does is we are wholly concerned with the flow of data, the flow of wine information from the producer who is producing the wines all the way through the trade, all the various components of the trade, whether it be off-trade, on-trade, through to the consumer eventually. And what Tasting Buddy is concerned with is concerned with capturing that data, ensuring that the producer's data is then, the integrity of it is retained. And we then make sure that importers are then able to add their own information on top of that wine information. And then what we do is we publish what we call electronic catalogs, or e-catalogs, as the product is called. And from this point on, the visitor to any show is then able to access all that information that has been built up throughout the supply chain and is then able to pass that on to his or her colleagues, customers, however they want to use it. So it's all about, Tasting Buddy is all about the knowledge that the wine trade has and leveraging that knowledge to best effect.
Okay, so you're almost like a data warehouse for wine knowledge, is that right?
Yeah, it's a bit like that. I mean, I suppose what we see ourselves as making or getting that information in a much more easily manageable format. So it's all about the collection and then the dissemination of that data, and we're allowing people to manipulate it, use it in whatever way they want, whether it be just on simple bits of paper or whether they actually want to look at making it all electronic and start taking their own tasting notes online, all that good stuff.
I had a look at, I've downloaded your file for the wine show, because we're at the wine show at the moment recording this.
Yeah.
And I had a look at your catalogue online, etc. Searching was basic, but worked quite nicely. You know, I could pull out the wines by the country and the grape variety, well, not the grape variety, by the colour.
Sure.
And a few other criteria as well, which is quite nice, because I was trying to organise wine walks and I needed to get red wines from New Zealand and things like that. And it made it really easy to find what I was looking for, particularly compared to last year where I had thousands of wines to try and scroll through.
Sure, absolutely.
And I thought that was quite handy. I thought that was a really, really useful element. Is that where you see that sort of thing going, helping people find the wines that they want to find at tastings?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I sort of take you back to May when we were at the London Wine and Spirit Fair with Wine Australia, that's where we first piloted this whole scheme. And what we had was we had somewhere around 60 importers in the UK entering all their Australian wine data into Tasting Buddy. And then we worked with Wine Australia on their stand at the fair to then give people an opportunity to navigate the Australian wines. So sort of in one fell swoop, where we're looking to give the producers much better representation of their wines, and we're helping the visitor find the wines that they're looking for. So, for example, I mean, you mentioned the wine show as we're here today. I mean, I just went and prepared a little list today. I wanted to look at Rieslings, for example, from South Australia. I now have a little list of the Rieslings from South Australia. I can now head off round the wine show and taste all of those Rieslings, and that's me. I'm good.
The information you've got from, say, the producers, it seems to be like a paragraph, a couple of sentences long. Is it just a text field that they're allowed to have, or are they allowed to put imagery on there, or what's the story?
Yeah, I mean, what we have in terms of the wine details page is quite a, when the exhibitor is entering his or her details, we have quite a detailed specification that they need to fill in, all the classic, you know, usual suspects, wine name, the grape variety, style, all that good stuff. In terms of the text you're talking of, that what we leave that available for the producer to put in their own profile, and we also then allow them to put in a tasting note or a note about the wine if they so wish. In terms of imagery and stuff, we're not yet going down that track. Our feeling is that we are still very much more about just data. We're not multimedia, it may come eventually, but we're more interested in making the service as simple to start with. You know, we got to start somewhere, and I think to have something that people can kind of understand, I can either print that out or I can download it to my PC or my phone. They're quite happy with that. Obviously, images then starts to change the service a little bit. Yeah. There are obviously more storage issues involved with images and all that good stuff. So,
is that information that you've got in your warehouse open to the public, or is it something that you guys retain and allow people to tap into piecemeal?
Yeah, I mean, the way we run our e-catalogs is when we're working with a client, let's take Wine Australia again as the example, we work with them to produce the electronic catalogue, and we then make that information essentially free to air. So it will be posted on Wine Australia's website, as well as being available through tastingbuddy.com. So yes, it is free to air. Pretty much all the information that we gather, we make freely available to anyone who wants to see it.
Okay. The other element you've got your e-catalogue, so you select the wines you want to taste at a tasting, and you can put them onto your PDA, or some types of PDAs.
Yeah, this is right. I mean, this is really where Tasting Buddy all began. I mean, I'm sure many of your listeners will know about that. I mean, we launched to the trade this time last year, and we started off the whole concept being about tasting notes on your handheld. It runs, the software we've developed on that score, it runs off Microsoft Windows Pocket PCs and also on BlackBerry handsets. Mm. Now, the whole concept around the handset was, as I say, it was to capture tasting notes on the handset, make it very easy to then manage all of that. We have found that adoption of that hasn't been as rapid as we would have liked, so what we've done is, this is why we've moved more into the e-catalog arena, because it's about bringing the technology down to the lowest common denominator. Everybody understands an internet browser. Everybody understands how to use a search engine. Yeah, it's very simple. So our strategy now is very much about, let's focus on the e-catalogs. If people are interested to use the handset technology like you are, we're obviously very happy to help you understand that and get to grips with that. Yeah. But it's not the bulk of our usage at the moment. The bulk of the usage is all about, it's searching the wines. And of course, the exhibitors love it too, because it's something that has much more longevity than just a straightforward paper catalogue, because often those things just gather dust in people's lofts, whereas if we continue to make the information available online, you know, it's there all the time. People can get it, and it's just so useful.
I've had a play with it, the handheld. I've downloaded the show notes for this, the wine show, and I've been playing around with it. Inputting doesn't seem a wee bit clunky. I don't know whether it can be smoothed up given the technology of the handheld. From my point of view, I'm just trying to work out a system, because I want to start recording my tasting notes a bit better. You know, I've had catalogs. I go to a show, I write down the tasting notes on the catalog. I get the catalog home, and it might stay in my bookcase for a wee while, and then it gets dumped eventually.
Yeah,
and I really want to manage my tasting notes a lot more efficiently.
Yeah.
But I thought the input of the tasting notes was a wee bit... it was a wee bit clunky, and I wasn't quite sure what the best way of,
sure.
of doing that
what,
was.
What mode have you been operating it in? Because there are, as I'm sure you've seen, two modes. There's an analytical framework.
Yeah. Which is very much WSET style.
Yes, I mean, we obviously sought counsel from them on all of that. And then we have what we term our freestyle method, which is simply... just giving a small framework for people to work on, just on classic appearance, nose, palate, conclusion, and then just allowing people to write whatever they wish.
I've got fat fingers, so my typing is really rubbish.
Yeah.
Keyboard, so I've tried using the different drag and scroll things, and I find that quite good. I think I'd probably go for the analytical approach with the odd note here and there, because that gets the key elements of what you want, you know.
I mean, I think where we see it going, Chris, is one of we probably need a much bigger user base on the handheld software so that we can get the feedback that we need to start developing it. Certainly what we hear from our BlackBerry users is it's fantastic.
They're used to typing away, aren't they?
Well, it's not so much the typing, it's that what you find, I mean, BlackBerry, not to want to get into huge technicalities here, but our good friend Bill Gates does tend to over-engineer things a little bit. So what you find is that with a Windows environment, you've got lots of things going on, which means that the processor having to work a lot harder, your machine's having to work a lot harder, which may be the reason why you're feeling that the interface is a little clunky. If you look at the BlackBerry, I mean, it's like lightning. But of course,
me that before.
maybe these are the sort of things we need to put in. But I think where we see the handheld software going is that we do need to start receiving a bit more feedback from people. We find that those who use it very regularly, they sort of come into one of two schools. Either they have been very familiar with a particular device, be it a PDA or a BlackBerry, and they just understand immediately what they're doing. It's very straightforward. Or, and you know, I would include people in there like Joe Fattorini, for example, who's a very popular writer in the trade. Then we go to the other side of the coin where, take for example, Andrew Jefford, who has started using this about a year ago after his experiences at Decanter magazine, where we trialed the product in the early days. And Andrew is just a complete technophobe. He really just wants to use technology for pure benefits, not out of interest, but pure benefit. And what Andrew has done is he's very much stuck with it. He's been tenacious to recognize that the value he can get from this is quite fantastic, because then, as you mentioned at the beginning of this section, you know, you can then go and search things and you can find things that you wrote years, months ago, whatever it may be. And of course, for Andrew, that is just so important, because a lot of the work he does is very much based on research, and those are the kind of pieces that he writes. And for him to be able to go back and look at notes in the past is just fantastic. So, you know, all those things coming together, we will get there. We will get there with the handset, and I think it's one of those things that, you know, we'll get there in the end.
What about issues like data ownership? Because I'm quite hot on that.
Sure.
You know, you can spend ages programming something up and getting it all running nice and sweet and beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, not to say this would happen, but, you know, if you guys went bust in 3 years' time after I've been entering data for 3 years, can I access the information either in your database or on the tasting buddy? Because I know you can back it up to your database, which is great, because in case you lose your notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the process that we advocate is this. It's to either use the website or your handset to take the notes. That is all safe. It's in sort of corporate strength, security, in a data warehouse, all backed up, all that good stuff. What we do have in the individual service, which you have to register for, is a facility where you can just simply export to Excel. So as you go through the search facility, you'll see on sort of the middle right of the page, just under all your search criteria, you'll see a button that says save to file, and you can just simply output it to Excel. And what that'll do is it'll take all the selections that you've made from your search and just dump it into an Excel file.
Does that include my own notes that I've written?
Yeah, absolutely everything.
So if you've got, like, say I've tasted Alan Scott Riesling, because that was the first wine I looked at yesterday.
Okay.
I've got the notes on Alan Scott,
Yep.
I've got the vintage, I've got all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then I've got, you know, if I'm using, say, the analytical approach, is it the individual fields, or do you convert the fields? Like in the analytical approach, you can scale it from 1 to 5 for acidity,
yeah.
for example. Do
yeah.
you go, do you output low, medium, high acidity, or do you just write a text stream of your
data? Yeah, what on those scales, on the sort of, as you say, the 1 to 4s, it just, I think the majority of the descriptors are low, medium, minus, medium, plus, high.
Yeah.
And that's the way it will come out on the dump down to Excel. And that's the way it comes out on yeah. your on the PDF form, if you wanted to print a particular note, that's the way it'll come out.
Okay, that's quite good, because data ownership is quite a hot issue. You know, you got people,
yeah.
You know, like Facebook and all these guys who
yeah,
people
sure.
are inputting huge amounts of data.
Yes, I understand.
And
that.
It's not
yeah.
portable.
Yeah, you know, yeah, no, understood. Yeah.
And no, that's really good.
Well, I mean, another illustration for you is that several of the buyers that we have on our customer list, what they tend to do is they do one or two things. Either they end up emailing themselves a big report. So they go into the search facility, create a report, and then email it to themselves. And they also do the backup from time to time, just to dump down to Excel. And then, of course, they use that Excel sheet to then start cutting and pasting into their corporate systems. Because, of course, we're not yet seeing ourselves as the sort of enterprise solution for tasting notes. I mean, that may come eventually. But, you know, a buyer obviously has to get the data that he stores in Tasting Buddy into an enterprise format that he can then use within his business.
Can someone interrogate your database to pull out, say, producer notes? So, for example, if I have a wine, I don't know, just saying, Two Hands Shiraz,
yeah.
can I go into your database and just pull out that if you've got notes on Two Hands?
You can, let's think, the...
Or do you have to go through and search for the shows that they exhibited?
Yes, I mean, this is how I was going to answer that question. We are very much event-driven.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we don't yet have behind the scenes, if you like, crossover between those events. Again, that is something that may come in time. I mean, remember, we are very much being driven by our clients and what they like to see on things. So at the moment, we are very much driven per the event. If you then take an individual user who has signed up and subscribing to Tasting Buddy, then that individual user is clearly able to download all sorts of different pieces of every catalog that we've published into their own ID. And then in that situation, provided they have downloaded the Two Hands Shiraz, they would be able to simply go in on the search facility and just type in Two Hands, and out would pop the answers. But in terms of interrogating from, if you like, just sort of a general wine database, that's not a facility that we provide.
What about ownership of the tasting notes? We talked about getting access to the
yep.
notes. Do you plan on publishing other people's tasting notes? Like, I can imagine if you've got some famous wine writer
sure.
on there, you know, effectively their tasting notes are actually quite valuable.
Yeah, no. I mean, we say that tasting notes are the individual's proprietary information. That's not our information. All we are providing people is the means of creating and storing those notes. We provide you the software to do that and the system to do that. So at the moment, we have no plans at all to be sharing or publishing people's tasting notes. And this is a very important point, actually, for the trade, because we've been asked that many a time, and there is a little bit of a misconception that people feel that we own the data. This is just simply not true. Mm-hmm. It is, if you, Chris, are now, you know, committed to using Tasting Buddy for your own personal notes, they're your notes and yours alone. Nothing to do with us. We're purely giving you the means to do that.
Okay. I think that pretty much answers all my questions. Excellent. Well, good luck with it. And hopefully it's something that I need.
Yeah.
And I hope this is a tool that'll solve my problems.
Cool. Well, I look forward to talking to you in the future, Chris, about another interview as to how we can develop the product and get it going.
All right. Cheers, Paul.
Fantastic.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Paul. I tried using Tasting Buddy at the wine show for some of the wines I tasted, and while I thought the system of entering wine notes into the system was a great idea, I found the user interface to be a wee bit clumsy, and in the end I didn't input too many wines, which is a real shame, because I really need a system to capture my tasting notes and put them into a database. But the use of Tasting Buddy as a repository to search for wines that are at tastings, I think, is a fantastic idea. And if you're like me, when you go to a tasting, you don't want to taste everything. You just want to taste a selection of the wines that you're particularly interested in. So for me, it was a great idea to search through wines and be able to pick the wines I liked when I was at the wine show. So I'm a big fan of that. I think that's a great system. Interestingly enough, they're getting the wine producers to populate the database with the wines. So over the next year or two, if it continues to pick up momentum, they're going to finish up with an almost complete wine database of producers and wines, which I think is quite interesting, and it's going to be worth quite a bit to someone with a bit of lateral thinking. Next week, we're talking with Richard Seidel, editor of Harper's, the UK wine and spirit trade magazine. They relaunched about 6 months ago, and we're going to be talking to Richard what it's like to head up the oldest English-speaking wine magazine in the world. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.